Very good evening. I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This picture of the shepherd would have been very familiar to the people in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were an agricultural nation, and so the picture of the shepherd taking care of sheep is a very common sight. And the understanding that they would have of the duty of the shepherd, and as well as the vulnerability of the sheep, it would be known to the people in those days. Sheep are very docile, but also vulnerable, weak, helpless creatures. Right? Do you know of any defense mechanisms that sheep may have? I remember when we visited Israel, and we had the opportunity to see sheep. I mean, it's quite strange, you know, to say that you have to go and travel and places to see sheep. But yes, when we were in Israel, we had the opportunity to actually look at some sheep. And I remember coming down from the tour bus, and then we saw this herd of sheep in front of us. And as we got nearer to this sheep, they did a very strange thing. They started to bunch up together, right? So they all came together very close to each other, and then they all started to head face inside, right, and their backs all facing us, and they bunch up together. Then I was thinking, that is a very lousy defense mechanism, right? You just basically face your back to us. If a wolf or a hunter or anyone wants to attack you, they are just going to attack you, right? All their heads all face inward. They form like one circle and like one cotton wool ball like that. And I said, is this how you're going to protect yourself? And that shows us how foolish sheep oftentimes are. And so the people in those days, they know how weak, vulnerable sheep are and how important, therefore, shepherds are in the care of the flock. And this would be a picture that would be very familiar to the people. But do they know of the good shepherd? They may know of the picture of the shepherd, but do they see and recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd? That was the problem. That was what the Jews in those days were not able to recognize. Now, the context of this passage goes back to John chapter 9. If you read John chapter 9, we have this wonderful miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed of the healing of the blind man. But after this blind man was healed, when the Pharisees and the scribes, they knew about it, they interrogated this blind man, right, trying to find out, how were you healed of your blindness? And so he told them what happened. But instead of rejoicing, instead of recognizing this great miracle that was performed by the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what they did was to throw him out of the temple. Right? And that's what you would see in verse 35 of John chapter 9. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, that is to cast him out of the temple. And so, then he went to this blind man to affirm this blind man's faith, to say that, do you know it is the Son of God, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has performed this miracle, who has healed you of your blindness. And he can not only just heal you of your blindness, but to even give you the forgiveness of sin. So this was the context in which John chapter 10 then unfolds. But after the Lord Jesus Christ revealed that truth, the Bible tells us that there were some Pharisees who overheard what the Lord Jesus Christ said, and they were offended, and hence they then challenged the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is said in verse 40 and 41. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now, what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing was to expose their blindness. Right? Because they said, are you saying we are blind also? They were asking a rhetorical question. Right? What they were in fact saying is that, we are not blind. So when they said, are we blind also? They were saying, we are not blind. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you are blind, you will be free of your sin. Now what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying is that if you admit your blindness, if you recognize your blindness, if you recognize your need for sight, then you would have received the forgiveness of sin. But because now you think that you are not blind, when you are actually blind, you cannot be forgiven of your sin because you are too proud, too arrogant to seek for help. And then in this context, in verse chapter 10 onwards, the Lord Jesus Christ then gives us the parable of the Good Shepherd. Now, the parable itself will be from verse 1 to verse 6, right? And so you will see how verse 6 tells us that this is the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ speak unto them. But they did not understand the meaning of the parable. So the parable itself will be from verse 1 to verse 6. But from verse 7 all the way down to verse 18 will be the explanation of this parable. Now the unique thing about this parable, which also reveals to us the two purposes of parables, right? The Lord Jesus Christ explained what are the two purposes of parables. But in this case, the parable, the unique thing about this parable was that it was spoken to the Pharisees, right? Not spoken to his disciples. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said that there are two purposes to parables. One, it is to reveal to those who are given, they are now given even more. But to those who do not have, it shall even be taken away from them that which they have. And so this fulfills the second purpose, because it was spoken to the Pharisees. And those who harden their hearts, the parables would confuse them even more. You know, today when we read this parable, right, and we look at the explanation, by the grace of God, I'm sure you would be able to say that you can understand what it means. Now, there are, of course, a lot of nuances, right, which we hope and we will, by the grace of God, expound and explain. There are a lot of nuances here, but you can understand the key truth here of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Good Shepherd. But this parable that was so simple, the Pharisees could not understand it. Right? And that was because of the hardness and the blindness of their hearts. And they didn't realize that this parable was also about them. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the thieves and the robbers, he was also referring to them. Now, the parable itself is not difficult to understand. It is simply a story or parable of a sheepfold. And so it's a picture of a sheepfold. And how there may be some who try to enter the sheepfold by climbing up through some ways, right? By not going through the door. But the shepherd, he can come through the door openly. He is not ashamed. He's not embarrassed. He has the rights to come through the door openly, and he will come through the door to lead the sheep out. Now, later on, the Bible will talk about the going in and the coming out of the sheepfold, right? To lead the sheep out is to lead them to green pastures. In the daytime, the sheep will be led out of the sheepfold, and in those days, sometimes they will make this sheepfold out of stones, right? So you can imagine like a stone fence. And then they will lead the sheep out to feed on green pastures. And then in the night, they will lead the sheep back again to the sheepfold so that the sheep can rest. But as the shepherd leads the sheep also will recognize the voice of the shepherd. Now, this is still true today. You know, I'm not sure whether you have seen some videos, but I remember when I was preparing to teach the story of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Good Shepherd to children. You know, in the course of my research, I found actually some videos on YouTube. You can go and see where the sheep will actually recognize the voice of the shepherd that has been caring for them. Right? So there was this video of how they would get like tourists, you know, or visitors who will come and look at the sheep grazing in the field, open field. And then they will try to make different sounds and call the sheep to come, right, come to them. But the sheep will just ignore all these voices. Then the shepherd will make a very unique, distinct sound. And the moment the shepherd makes his sound, right, and calls the sheep will perk their head up and then immediately walk towards the shepherd. Right? It's actually very amazing. So that's an illustration of how sheep can recognize the shepherd's voice. And so this was the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ described. Right? The sheep will recognize the shepherd's voice. They will not follow the stranger's voice. But now the question is, what is the meaning of this parable? Right? And so the explanation will be given from verse 7 to verse 18. And there are three truths that we can see from the parable here of the Lord Jesus Christ being the good shepherd. And the first thing is from verse 7 to verse 10. Now, here there will be some overlap. Okay? But for the purpose of this sermon, I will just outline it in this way. Okay? So from verse 7 to verse 10, the explanation of the parable, the first thing you see is you must know the access through the good shepherd. So now in the explanation over here, the Lord Jesus Christ then explained. And he said in verse 7, then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So the first truth and the first element here is about the door. Right? That was what the Lord Jesus Christ described earlier on in the parable. That those who do not enter the door of the fold, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, who are these thieves, or who were these thieves and robbers that the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to? It's the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, those who have been robbing in a figurative manner, right? Not literal manner, because in the parable, it was a picture, but it was a picture to describe and to depict how the Judaizers have been robbing the people, the children of Israel, from their salvation. How did they rob them? Not necessarily directly, not as if they had salvation and then they take it away, but they robbed them through their laws, right? By binding their conscience with their own man-made traditions and laws. So they have been robbing them of their access to heaven. They have been robbing them from their access to God by prescribing for them, to them, a form of salvation by works. Right? Because that was essentially the kind of religion that the Pharisees, the scribes, have been teaching. You need to keep all these laws. You need to be circumcised. You need to fulfill all these commandments. Then you might be able to see God. But the reality and the truth is, who can keep all these commandments? Who can do all these things? Who is ever good enough? And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ compared them to the thieves and the robbers. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. But the Lord Jesus Christ then now says, I am the door. Now, here is very specific. I am the door of the sheep. He not just say, I am one door or a door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. Now, this picture again is borrowed from what was commonly practiced in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, where in the sheepfold, they might not have a physical, actual door. And so what the shepherd may do at times is they would actually lie at the door itself, right? Where the door is supposed to be, the shepherd will lie to guard the door. And he would be like the door. That means no one can enter the sheepfold except through the shepherd. And so using that picture, now the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door of the sheep. That means no one is able to enter the fold except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have ever come before him, they were thieves and robbers, and they have robbed and stolen and destroyed the faith of the children of Israel by prescribing to them another means of salvation, that is salvation by works. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, that he is the only access to the sheepfold. So do you know the entrance? Do you know the access that the good shepherd gives to you? Do you really know? Not just the story and not just the picture, but do you know and have you entered in to the sheepfold through the Lord Jesus Christ? That was what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted the people to know then. And that's the same thing that you also must know today. Have you entered the sheepfold through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's not an entrance into the church that gives you the entrance into heaven. It's not being brought up in the church that gives you an entrance into heaven. It is not even knowing scripture itself, per se, that gives you an entrance into heaven. If you have not entered through the Lord Jesus Christ, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no entrance into heaven. And we know that this is something that we can never take for granted. Right? Do you know the shepherd? Do you know the entrance that he provides? And have you entered in through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the door of the sheep? The only way of salvation, the only door, the only entrance. This is something that we can never assume. Whether those you have been in church for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, right? Whether you are a YEFer or an AFer, this is something that we can never assume. If you find that this thing is still very confusing and complicated to you, right, where you do not understand the truth that is spoken here, then perhaps you might have never yet entered in through this door. Don't think that you have entered in, but be very sure, make very sure that you have entered in through the door. Because there's only one entrance, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first truth in the parable here. Right? The children of Israel then must know that there's only one entrance into heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second truth that we then see, now this, you may say, it is from verse 11 down through to verse 18. Right, the theme is actually repeated there several times, but we will just focus on verses 11 to 13. And that is, do you know the sacrifice of the Good Shepherd? So this is the second theme that the Lord Jesus Christ then expounded here. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But see, there is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. Seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. So the Lord Jesus Christ now again used another picture that was very familiar to the people in those days. And here he was in fact saying that the Pharisees are like the hireling, of course. Right? So the Pharisees are like the thieves and robbers, and the Pharisees are also like the hireling. But this was again a common practice in those days. Shepherds at time might hire help, right? Certain young men who might want some job, you know, or some source of income, and they might hire them as watchmen to come and help to guard and to take care of this sheep. And so they are the hireling. So these sheep do not belong to them, right? They do not own this sheep, and so they may not be very invested in the care of this sheep. Right, they just want to take care of the sheep, and you know, they hope that it would just be a very ordinary day, not a normal day, very uneventful day. They take care of the sheep, they get paid, and then after that they go home. But there's a hireling. And so the Lord Jesus Christ used this picture. Because would a hireling that is just paid to take care of the sheep give off his life for the sheep? You know, you might even argue some shepherd themselves might not even risk their own lives for the sheep. But that is not the Good Shepherd. Right? A good shepherd, and now that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give off his life for the sheep. And the reason why the hireling flee is because the sheep do not belong to him, and he does not care for the sheep. Right? And so there are these two very important truths that are described here. Right, if you look at verse 12, he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. It means the Bible emphasizes that the sheep do not belong to the hireling. Right? And at the same time, in verse 13, the last part, they careth not for the sheep. So two very distinct points that are brought out here. Right, the hireling they don't care for the sheep, and the sheep do not belong to the hireling. In contrast, the shepherd cares for the sheep, because the sheep, they belong to him. They are his own. And that is the difference. And hence, the Lord Jesus Christ then says that, as the good shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. That is the sacrifice of the good shepherd. Now, this theme, again, will continue on from verse 14 onwards. Right? But for verse 14, and you will see this in verse 17 and 18 especially. Right? Therefore, does my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again? This describes the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. So the Lord Jesus Christ willingly gave off his life. We know that even when he was arrested in the Garden of Eden, or Garden of Gethsemane, not Garden of Eden, right? When he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and even when he was on the cross, if he wanted to, he had the power, he could command the angels to immediately deliver him. But he willingly gave off his life. He willingly went to the cross. This was the sacrifice of the Good Shepherd, and this is the heart of the gospel. The Good Shepherd did not merely come to lead the sheep, right? To teach. The Lord Jesus Christ did not merely come into this world to be a good teacher, to be a good prophet, to be a good man, to perform miracles, to heal, to help. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die. And then having died, to also take his life again, meaning to rise from the grave, where in the glorious resurrection he defeated and conquered death. Yes, he had to live a perfect life, right? Because he must be a righteous Lamb of God, right? He must live a perfect holy life, but he came to die. And this is what many Jews then and today struggled with, because they cannot accept the truth of a suffering Messiah, right, of the Messiah who would die for their sins. But they didn't realize that this is in God's wonderful plan, that through the death and the resurrection of the Messiah, they can be saved from their sins. I remember when we went to Israel for one of our Holy Land tour, and we spoke to one of our guides, or our guides at that time, right, and he happened to be a Jewish guide. And so we asked him what he thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he was a unique, quite unique person as a Jew, in that he also read the New Testament, right? Because Jews usually only, those are more religious Jews, right? There are now a lot of secular Jews. Some secular Jews, they don't even read the Old Testament, right? They don't even observe God's word. But there are some religious Jews, then they only obey the Old Testament. But he, as a Jewish guy, he read both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay? But that doesn't mean that he believed in what he read. And so what we asked him, you know, what he thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that he is a good prophet, perhaps even the best prophet the world has ever seen. He is a good man. He is a good teacher, perhaps even the best teacher, the best man, the best person this world has ever seen. So he gave a lot of praises to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The best prophet, the best teacher, the best person that has ever lived on this earth. But he would stop short at saying that he's also the Savior. And even though he is able to say all these things about the Lord Jesus Christ, he has missed the whole crux, the whole point of why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He came not just to be a good example, not just to perform miracles, not just to be a good prophet, to be a good person, but he came to die, to suffer as the suffering Messiah, and to give off his life for his sheep. And that is really the heart of the gospel. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ has not just come to be an example. Now, he's of course the perfect example. But just by following his example, you know that you cannot earn salvation. Right? That means if a person tries to imitate Christ and follow his example, we can never be saved just by trying to imitate Christ and to follow his example. In fact, you know that sometimes examples can be more discouraging than encouraging. Have you ever tried playing the piano, and in the process and the course of learning the piano, you go and watch some YouTube videos of 3-year-old, 4-year-old, right, playing the piano, and even though they are 3-year-old and 4-year-old, they can play the piano better than you. And when you see those videos, you say, I think I give up, right? I don't want to learn the piano anymore. Sometimes examples can be very deflating, right? Especially when you know that you can never reach that same level. Now, if you just simply follow the example of Christ, it will condemn us. It will humble us. Because when you look at the example of Christ, you see His perfection, His perfect love. You see His patience. You see His wisdom. You see His obedience. Right? You see His compassion. And you see all these things about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you try to imitate the life of Christ to earn your salvation, we will all say, we must give up. Because we can never accomplish that. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not just come to be our example. He came to be our Savior. That means He has died on the cross for us, earned salvation for us. He gave up His life for us. So that He can pay for all our sins, wash away all our sins, and in His resurrection, fulfill the justice and the wrath and all the requirements of the law. And in His resurrection, the Lord now says that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is accepted. And all who believe in Christ can also receive and will receive the forgiveness of sins. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. Now this is so important, not just only for that point of salvation, but for the rest of our lives. Because sometimes even in our sanctification process, we might again feel very lousy. We might wonder, you know, when we think back about our salvation, did I say the right sinner's prayer? Did I say the sinner's prayer properly when I first accepted Christ as my Savior? Sometimes we might wonder. Or sometimes now, we might even wonder, am I a good enough parent? Am I a good enough husband? Am I a good enough wife? Have I done enough? Have I served enough? Have I prayed enough? But the question has never been about whether you are good enough. Is whether Christ is enough. And Christ came to give off His life for His sheep. Right? And this is in contrast to the hireling. Right? The hireling, the Jews, they heap upon God's people. The Pharisees, they heap upon God's people all the burdens of the law. But they would abandon them at the first sign of danger. You see examples of how in the case of the woman who was caught in adultery, right, that they used this woman in her time of need in order just to trap the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ exposed their hypocrisy, and the Lord Jesus Christ showed the woman the way of salvation. But that's the Pharisees, the Jews. Right? They bound the conscience of the people. And they would only save themselves running away at the first sign of danger. But do you know the sacrifice of the good shepherd? And then that brings us to the third thought and the third theme. Do you know the faithfulness of the good shepherd? Where not only did he sacrifice himself. Now the Bible says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And a known of mine. Now there are two aspects here, right? Where the good shepherd knows his sheep, and in turn, his sheep will recognize and know the voice of the good shepherd. And here it speaks of the faithfulness of the good shepherd. And you will notice, again in verse 15, the Bible emphasizes, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now we believe that this is talking about the Gentiles. Right? So what is this other fold? Now in the context here, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking specifically directly to the Pharisees. Right? And he was speaking in the context of the Jewish people. Right? And so, this other fold should be understood in this context. So the other fold here does not mean other ways of salvation. It's talking about the people who have not yet received or heard of the gospel, which in those days would be the Gentiles. So this other fold here will refer to the Gentiles. But you see, those of this other fold will now be brought into this one fold. And there's only one shepherd. So the Bible is very clear. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one Savior. Okay? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So these other four here would describe the Gentiles, which all of us are now Gentiles. And we are all partakers of this wonderful truth. And we have heard His voice. And the Bible says, therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. The Lord Jesus Christ died, and He rose again. And the resurrection now is very important, because our Savior is alive forevermore. That means He is our living shepherd, right? He's our good shepherd who has sacrificed His life for us, but He's also our shepherd who is alive forevermore. He's now ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And as our good shepherd who is alive forevermore, we are always under His protection, we are always under His care, and He leads us, He directs us. You know, as the good shepherd, the Bible tells us, so this is one theme that we see earlier on in the passage as well, right? In verse 9, He is the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. That means this is where the sheep, in following the shepherd, can safely graze upon green pasture. Sheep are very foolish animals. They are unable to distinguish and to discern which may be poisonous plants or poisonous herbs. And so is the duty of the shepherd to lead them to green pastures where they can graze safely. Right? And so that's the faithfulness, the provision. The voice of our Savior, the voice of our Good Shepherd continues to direct us. He continues to provide for us. He continues to guide us. He continues to show us our path. And if we go astray, He will lead us back to the right path. He is not just our Savior who, having procured and earned and given us salvation, then leave us to fend on our own. But His voice will continue to direct us. And hence, this is the faithfulness. Do you know the faithfulness of the Good Shepherd? Where He continues to guide you through your pilgrim journey. Or through your spiritual journey. From the time when you first were born again. In fact, even before you were born again. You know, oftentimes now when we look back, we see the mercies of God. How the Lord protected us, prevented us from really destroying ourselves. And then the Lord brought us unto salvation. And through our spiritual journey, so many times we made mistakes, so many times we went astray, but our good shepherd continued to direct us and guide us. And this is the perseverance of the saints, where those who are now in Christ will never lose their salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ will never allow us to be plucked out of His hands. No one can pluck us out of the Father's hands, and no one can pluck us out of His hands. His voice will continue to direct us. But we must be willing to follow Him. We must hear His voice. And His sheep will hear His voice. His sheep can and must recognize His voice. Now, there will be many, many voices, because those hirelings, they will be jealous when we see the birth of the New Testament church. You know, just as the New Testament church was born on the day of Pentecost, we see how the devil will try to hinder the work. Right? They would either use persecution or imprisonment. We see the stoning of Stephen, right, in the birth of the New Testament church. We see Peter arrested. Because Satan will try to hinder the work. And those were done by the Pharisees. right? The scribes, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin council, they were jealous of God's word. The hirelings will continue to try to hinder us in our faith. And the devil will, of course, use the voices of the world. There are so many conflicting, confusing voices. And now, it is even more confusing because some of these voices will even present themselves as the voice of the shepherd. And this would be found within Christianity. And because there are false Christianity today, where they will try to confuse us and mislead us. But the Bible tells us that as the sheep, the shepherd knows us, the sheep must also know the shepherd. Right? I am the good shepherd in verse 14. I know my sheep and am known of mine. And we must hear the voice of the good shepherd. And that is why a passage like this, it serves to do two things, to fulfill the two purposes of the parable. One, it is for those who are given. They will see, they recognize, and they believe. But to those who do not know, they may know the words, right? They may understand the meaning of the words, but they are unable to understand the spiritual truth. They will harden their hearts even more, and they will reject, and they will be blinded even more. And that's why the shepherd is faithful and good, but have you been following, obeying his voice? We know that obedience is one evidence of the salvation that we have received in the very first place. Do you continue to live in obedience? Do you continue to live sensitive to the voice of the shepherd? Sensitive to what kind of entertainment? Sensitive to his will? Sensitive to relation, how the Lord wants you to conduct yourself in relationships, in your family, with relation to your career, your work? Are you sensitive to the voice of the shepherd in every area of your life? Because your whole life must be directed and guided by the good shepherd. But this is also an encouragement to us. Because those who follow the faithful and the good shepherd, he will always lead you to green pastures. You know, oftentimes it is disobedience. You know, when we want to stray and wander from the good shepherd, that it brings to ourselves a lot of hurt, a lot of distress. You know, and if we have not learned it yet, then sometimes we have to learn it in very, very painful ways, where the Lord has to humble us. But when we walk in obedience, yes, there may be persecution, there may be trials, there may be afflictions, but we know that because the Lord is with us, we will have his grace, we will have his strength, we will have his sufficiency and enabling to go through even the most trying of afflictions. But if you do not follow the shepherd, you are wandering, blind, lost, helpless, defenseless. But if you are really a child of God, we thank the Lord that the good shepherd will not allow us to wander far and to wander for long. He will quickly bring us back to himself and to the fold. The good shepherd is faithful. And if you know that you have already wandered and strayed, and the good shepherd is calling you back, then do not resist anymore, because his sheep must hear his voice. Do you know the good shepherd? Not just what a shepherd does, not just what the duties of the shepherd might be, but do you know the good shepherd? Do you know the access and the entrance that the good shepherd gives? Do you know the sacrifice of the good shepherd? And do you know the faithfulness of the good shepherd? Let us pray. O Lord, our God, our loving and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank thee how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our good shepherd who has given his life for his sheep. And we thank thee how he came and he lived a perfect and holy life, and he died as our perfect sacrifice. And how we thank thee that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, that now we might have life. And so, Father, we pray that Thou will help us to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and not to be distracted by the voices of the world. Help us to follow Christ, our Shepherd, faithfully. And we know that in following our Savior, we will graze in green pastures. Thou will always supply, provide, and take care of all our needs. Help us to truly know our Good Shepherd. We pray You bless the time of discussion and the fellowship between the YEFers and the AFers this evening. May Thou help them to build each other up and encourage each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask and pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.